This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Let's talk about the G7 global tax deal. Because on Saturday, the finance ministers of the most advanced economies agreed to tackle tax avoidance by making companies pay more in the countries where they do business.
They also agreed in principle to a global minimum corporate tax rate of 15% to avoid countries undercutting each other. The deal was agreed upon by the Group of Seven. And if finalized, it would represent a significant development in global taxation. But there's still a long way to go before this deal can be implemented, not least getting the agreement of the rest of the world.
So joining us to discuss the implications of a global tax rate is Simon Baptist, Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Thanks for joining us this morning, Simon. Now, the G7 and other rich countries have been in talks for years to overhaul the international tax regime. What led to this present breakthrough, though?
Good morning. The big thing that led to this breakthrough was the election of Joe Biden as US president. Donald Trump didn't show any interest either in international coordination on anything, including this issue. And he also had no interest in raising corporate tax rates. So under him, there was no chance of progress. But now with Biden in there and also a changing political consensus that higher taxes and higher government spending are less harmful and more beneficial than previously thought. This was based upon the experience after the 2009 financial crisis. There's an international consensus in favor of the benefits of fiscal policy and also more philosophical alignment between the G7 about what should happen. So therefore, we've been able to get everybody across the line to agree a set of concepts, but there is still quite a lot still to be determined. The announcement that we've had so far is quite vague, and there's a lot of things that are still unspecified.
As you say, Simon, a global tax bill that has not been done since 1920s, but as you say also, the details are super complicated. Could you help walk us through, as a layman, how the new tax arrangements are supposed to work?
So the biggest issue that this tax deal is trying to address is around tech companies. So historically, company tax has been based on profits rather than on revenue. And the reason for that is that it doesn't distort otherwise profitable economic activity. If something is still profitable and you tax it at a percentage of its profits, it's still profitable after tax. Whereas it's possible that if you tax on revenue, that can turn a profitable business unprofitable. So that's why tax designers have always favoured profit as being the basis for corporate tax. And this means you deduct business costs off a company's revenues. Now, in days when business costs were visible and could be easily measured, it was things like buildings, machinery, equipment, and workers, you could calculate profit and where it was based pretty simply. You knew where workers lived, you knew where the machine was, you knew where the building was, and so that was all possible to apportion costs quite accurately across jurisdictions. But with the rise of tech companies and companies whose business models are based on IT capital or intellectual capital or patents and things that are intangible that you can't kind of hold, where does the design intellectual property for the iPhone sit in what country, right? It kind of sits nowhere because it's an idea. So what companies have done is they've shifted around where they hold these ideas in their accounts to countries with low tax jurisdictions, and then it's very hard to measure exactly where activity is taking place. And so this is how firms that rely on intangible capital, or an intellectual capital, have managed to reduce their tax bills by so much, and the tax regulators or authorities in countries have really struggled to track where these assets are really being held and how much they're really worth, because it's very, very hard to measure. And so this deal is fundamentally trying to address that topic and try and tie down taxation, particularly it's for tech and other intellectually driven companies, tie their tax down a bit more tightly to where they do business.
Now, the G7 have agreed on this deal, but will it benefit other countries in the same way, Or will countries that rely on tax measures to attract foreign investors eventually lose out?
So there are different countries that are going to benefit and gain from different parts of the deal. And it still does depend on actually what the deal ends up being, because what we've got so far is still very high level, but I mean, it's a start. There's one part which addresses this issue that I just went through about where the profit is taxed. Yep. So this deal looks like the shift is going to be away from countries where the intellectual property is held, which is typically in kind of tax haven type jurisdictions, and into jurisdictions where activity happens. So this is going to benefit higher tax, higher income countries overall. So places like Europe, like Australia and like Japan are going to be the biggest beneficiaries there, because they're highly profitable markets for companies like Apple. Yet Apple, or Facebook or Google or whichever tech company we choose, would tend to pay very little tax there. So that will be one shift. A second shift is going to be the other part of the deal, which is around the minimum tax rate, from countries with low tax rates to countries with higher tax rates, because there will no longer be a benefit from having a very low tax rate. The one that's being talked about is 15% minimum. Really, the only countries that have a tax rate lower than this are very, very small ones that are operating as tax havens. So places like say, Bermuda or the British Virgin Islands. There's even amongst more developed countries like Ireland that has a low tax rate, its tax rate is still 12.5%. So not that much below the 15%. So for places like Ireland, it's the intellectual property part that is much more critical. But for the usually they're small island states like Bermuda or the British Virgin Islands, they are going to lose out heavily because of that minimum tax rate, if it does come in. But we'll still have to see the extent to which tax authorities in those countries opt into it and how enforcement takes place.
So what's next to close the deal?
Well, it'll be continuing negotiations between the G7 Treasury and tax authorities. I think we've had a political signal at a high level about what the contours of a deal will look like. So there'll now be more discussions at the technical level. Then it will broaden out into the OECD. I'm trying to get the OECD on board for that, where I think now that the US is in line, there will be general support in the OECD for this. Places like Ireland and Luxembourg would rather not have it happen, but they're just not going to be powerful enough to counteract the amount of momentum behind it if the G7 is aligned. And then we'll see tax authorities beginning to implement, and then enforcement will be a key part of dragging on authorities like, say, Bermuda, who for sure are not going to be very cooperative.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Simon Baptist, Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit, breaking down for us the details of this tax deal, which is actually groundbreaking, because it's very, very seldom that countries can agree on a minimum tax rate. And I guess, but the next challenge, of course, is getting other countries to agree. So the first step, I think, is the G20 countries. Will they say yes? And is the 15% tax rate acceptable to all?
I guess they have no choice. If they have huge stimulus bills to pay, anything that generates revenue for them, I think, would be warmly accepted.
Yeah, but nobody likes to pay more tax, right? And enforcement. How are they going to enforce this across the world is the big question mark, right?
The question, I think you're right, Xiaoning, is they could probably make this work within the G7 because it can just be a bilateral between all of them. But how fast they can expand it and make it a global framework is a big question.
You know who
mark.
I see benefiting? The accounting firms and the tax consultants. They are probably going to be the happiest.
And the developed countries.
Yes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.